Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In a few minutes this morning, our guest will be Jerry E. Smith, the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. If you've not seen this book, you really need to take a look at it. It comes out through Adventure Sun Limited Press, which you can find at adventuresunlimitedpress.com. This is an amazing book dealing with the manipulation of weather for military purposes, and with some of the forces that are alleged to be behind these activities. You can see how this would complement what we've already been concerned about as far as the whole issue of world government and governmental elites is concerned. We have a news summary for you today, just a very brief one. Peter Dale Scott's comments on the Kennedy assassination and 9/11 are available for you at globalresearch.ca. A very interesting story that begins to connect a few dots there in terms of the whole issue of the destabilization of trust in governmental institutions. Our friend Wendy Campbell from War Men Media, who was with us last week, has an article at aljazeera.info entitled "The Need for the De-Zionization of Both America and Israel." Interesting story with a lot of links and a lot of analysis. You can find that one at aljazeera.info. Fascinating story coming out of a couple of British newspapers today. Iran Focus has reprinted a couple of these, including one from the London Times, describing a British soldier who allegedly gave army secrets to Iran. Allegedly, a non-commissioned officer helped the enemy in Afghanistan by turning over certain secrets related to NATO operations there over to the Iranians. And he has been charged under the Official Secrets Act in Britain. Again, that's a breaking story in the last day or so in Britain. Times and The Guardian have both covered it, and it has been reprinted in Iran Focus. Keep an eye on that story. Should be interesting to see what's behind that in the days ahead. Corporal Daniel James, 44, appeared at the City of Westminster Magistrates Court in London yesterday, charged under Section 1 of the Official Secrets Act with communicating information, quote-unquote, useful to the enemy. The case was considered so sensitive that after the charge had been read out, reporters were told to leave, and the remainder of the hearing was held in camera. Keep an eye on that story coming to us from the UK today. Alexander Cockburn has a fascinating piece that you can find at counterpunch.org today. It's entitled "Democrats Prepare to Fund Longer War." We've been predicting this for quite some period of time, of course, at Republic Broadcasting Network. And as you read Cockburn's analysis of this in today's Counterpunch, it becomes very, very apparent that this is going on. And Alexander goes forth not simply to give us his analysis on the implications of some of these committee chairmanship choices, but he goes on to give us a very fascinating summary of legislative history on this issue up to this point, which shows that the Democratic Party has provided some pretty significant support to Mr. Bush up to this time in regard to the passage of key elements of his plan for war in the Middle East. And the thesis of Cockburn's piece is that that's only going to continue as we head into January. Another story which comes up again from Iran. The analysis is that Ahmadinejad's allies have been defeated in the Tehran elections, that the Tehran City Council elections were not favorable to the president. We're also seeing stories that the Iranian old friend, as far as political manipulation is concerned, Mr. Rafsanjani, the chairman of the State Expediency Council and a past president of Iran, has suddenly risen again in stock vis-a-vis the current president of Iran. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on that story in the days ahead to see how that plays in terms of the dynamics of the situation emerging between the United States and Iran. When we come back, I will have Jerry Smith, the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
We at Republic Broadcasting Network recognize that not everyone is able to make a monetary donation to help us expand our network and spread the word. So we've come up with another way that everyone can help support RBN and the fight for freedom. It is estimated that most people have over $2,000 worth of stuff lying around their home or workplace collecting dust. Things like DVDs, CDs, watches, comic books, toys, and collectibles. For the cost of postage, these items can be put to good use. Simply donate them to RBN. How does it work? Send your items to RBN Auctions, 7898 Enon Road, Pavo, Georgia, 31778. You simply pay for the cost of postage to ship your items to us. We sell them on eBay and keep the proceeds. For more information on how and what to donate, go to ebay.rbnlive.com. Free your home and office of unwanted clutter. Send your items to RBN Auctions, 7898 Enon Road, Pavo, Georgia, 31778.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Jerry E. Smith, the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. Jerry Smith has been a writer, an editor, and an activist since the 1960s. His bibliography of published works includes scores of nonfiction articles and reviews, more than a dozen ghost-written books, and two previous nonfiction books from Adventures Unlimited Press, HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy in 1998, and Secrets of the Holy Lance, The Spear of Destiny in History and Legend in 2005. The latter was co-authored with George Picard, the author of Liquid Conspiracy, JFK, LSD, the CIA, Area 51, and UFOs, 1999. And since HARP's North American release in 1998, it has been translated into Portuguese in 2005, and in 2001 into Polish. Jerry Smith is also a popular TV and radio talk show guest and lecturer. He's been on over 100 different radio shows many times as a repeat guest, and on over a dozen TV shows, including Encounters with the Unexplained on the PAX TV network, Unscrewed on the Tech TV network, and Decoding the Past, Relics of the Passion, on the History Channel in the United States, and on Conspiracies on Sky One Satellite in the UK. He's lectured across the United States and as far away as the Bahamas, Brazil, and Brisbane, Australia. He has a website, and we're going to mention a number of his websites throughout this broadcast today. The first website you'll want to take a look at is www.jerryesmith.com. Jerry, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm glad to be with you. Hey, I got to give you a heads up. I am in a very tiny rural town in the middle of the Midwest, and we are in a rainstorm. And every time we have a rainstorm, the phones go crazy. Last night, I was on Kevin Smith's radio show, and we lost signal twice. The phones went dead on me twice in the two-hour interview. So if the phone goes dead, just dial back. The phone system here doesn't work very well when it gets wet.
Yes. Well, thanks for the heads up. And who knows, the topic of her book, it could even be a conspiracy. I finished reading this book, and as a non-specialist in science generally and in weather warfare specifically, I was amazed at the data in this book, not to mention the bibliography and all of the various things that you've attached as appendices to the text itself. This is pretty incredible stuff, Jerry, and very believable as I read through it. Why don't you discuss a little bit of this whole business of geophysical warfare, environmental modification, chemtrails, and how all of these things dovetail into what could be a competition among various nation states to manipulate the weather for military purposes, and how some of these things might lead into some real serious problems in terms of what seems to be a wholesale drive toward world government.
Wow, now that's a tall order. Let me try to break that down a little. First,
sure.
Let me kind of give your listeners an overview. The book Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, is about more than just the weather and more than just the military. It has four basic areas that I deal with. First of all, I lay out the history of weather and environmental modification starting in with the rainmakers of the 1890s and bring it up to present time. Part of this, one of the big aspects of this is I try to prove that, I think I quite clear that weather control is not a fantasy, it's not science fiction, but is an everyday reality. Newsweek magazine reported in 2005 that the Chinese government is spending $40 million a year and has 35,000 people employed full-time in weather management. And weather management here is defined as increasing precipitation using cloud seeding and so forth to relieve droughts, to suppress hail, to prevent hail from falling and destroying crops, and to dissipate fogs from airports. This is an off-the-shelf technology. This is an everyday event. So I bring it up to the ENMOD convention, and in 1978, the United Nations put out for signature, and to this date, about 70 nations have signed on a convention, an international treaty that prohibits the use of this technology for military purposes. And I analyzed that treaty at great length. Showing the faults of the treaty and that the treaty has been repeatedly violated since it went into effect. I was going to put in a massive section on what had happened since the treaty was signed, and then I realized that that book already existed. That is Dr. Rosalie Bertell's Planet Earth, The Latest Weapon of War. She does an absolutely brilliant job of detailing what has happened since the ENMOD treaty, ENMOD being environmental modification, treaty was enacted. And so I decided just to direct people to her book and move on. One aspect I do pick up in the post-ENMOD era is HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. HARP is a field of antennas on the ground in southeastern Alaska so linked together as to work as one giant antenna. And it is now the world's largest radio broadcasting center, but it's not designed to broadcast for human ears. It's designed to inject 3.6 million watts of radio frequency energy into a spot at the top of the atmosphere. And to give you an idea of what that is, the largest legal AM radio station in the United States is 50,000 watts. HARP is 72,000 50,000 watt radio stations injecting their full radio output into a spot about 12 and a half miles across by about 2.5 miles deep by 50 or 90 miles up, depending on which mode they're using. This changes the ionosphere. This modifies the ionosphere. The U.S. Air Force keeps insisting, oh, we don't want to control the weather, but they do want to modify the atmosphere. And I ask, what is the difference, if any, between those two things? And so I have an update on HARP. My previous book, my first book for Adventures Unlimited Press, was HARP, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, which lays out the science of HARP and then speculates on if it can do these things, who would want to do that. So it's a very speculative book looking at the who and why behind HARP. In Weather Warfare, the Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, I eschewed conspiracy theory. I decided not to speculate, but just simply pile up the facts. And I spend 400 pages piling up the facts. And the reader can then speculate all they like off of that. And then the final section, after giving an update on what's going on with HARP and where it may be going in the future, I then go into the contrail versus chemtrail debate. And this is really a part of the global warming climate change debate. And this is really the most important aspect of this, in that the politics of the 21st century is going to turn on how the global warming climate change debate works out, because as you know, with such things as the Earth Charter, Agenda 21, the Kyoto Protocols, the folks who I call the watermelons because they're green on the outside and red on the inside, the eco-collectivists are trying to create a global government using environmental degradation as a pretext to form a green Gestapo around and a global government to enforce modification of our behavior. And so that's the chemtrail contrail debate is an aspect of this. And I give a basic of the science of what contrails are, how they form, when they form, why they form, why they persist, why they don't, etc., and then look into the claims that there is that there's some sort of covert spraying program going on.
Well, it seemed to me as I was reading through your book and learning for the first time, frankly, what this High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, or HARP, is, at least in terms of a basic summation of what it is, and then proceeded into your discussion of this NMOD, this Environmental Modification Treaty or Convention that was adopted in 1976, it struck me that as I was reading through all of this and seeing that, for example, the NMOD Convention, as you cite, was only ratified by 70 of the 193 countries recognized by the UN, and that it's unenforceable, in your words, in any practical sense. And then I go on to read some of the specifics that you cite in your introduction in regard to the activities of the Chief of Staff of the United States Air Force at the time, General Fogelman, who really tasked the Air University at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama to look 30 years into the future to identify the so-called concepts, capabilities, and technologies that the United States will require to remain the dominant air and space force in the 21st century. Coming out of that was a white paper that you cite entitled Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025. And of course, the purpose of this paper, citing its own words here, is to outline a strategy for the use of a future weather modification system to achieve military objectives. It seems to me that that's pretty much prima facie evidence for the fact that the United States is certainly involved in continuing to research the whole business of weather modification and the utilization of weather modification for military purposes. When we come back, I want to talk to Jerry Smith a little bit about how this could be engendering a competition between a number of nation states like the United States and China, and how this might play into the hands of those who want to create an artificial crisis in order to create, in turn, a world government. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Jerry E. Smith, the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. I want to, throughout the broadcast, point you to some of Jerry's websites. I mentioned the first one at the beginning of the hour, www.jerryesmith.com, a website called spearbook.com. which will redirect to the website entitled secretsoftheholylance.com. And then, of course, there's adventuresunlimitedpress.com, the publishers of this very fine book, which I urge all of you to get a copy of because of the information in it and the implications for everyone listening to this broadcast. Jerry, getting back to what we were talking about at the before the break, you know, you had cited in the introduction to your book that one of the oldest examples of hostile environmental modification, or NMOD, was seen in the salting of the fields of Carthage by Rome And they're reading directly from your text here. After a long and costly war between those two great powers, Rome won, and intent on never having to deal with Carthage again, sowed salt into the croplands of Carthage, sterilizing the earth and forcing the people to move away, abandoning their city so as not to starve. That's just one of a series of these types of episodes that you cite throughout world history where this sort of thing has been going on between nation states. Now we're talking, it seems to me, about technologies, obviously, that far outstrip anything that Rome could possibly have imagined. And looking at this not only in terms of the dangers that this sort of thing presents in the competition between nation states, who all want to get the upper hand, and I assume, in terms of this type of technology, and you have a so-called InMod treaty that, in your own words, is completely unenforceable, and it's only been signed by 70 of something like 193 potential signatories. But we're now talking about a circumstance as well where you seem to be indicating in some of our discussions here that we could very well see some of these folks involved in the green movement being deliberately involved in trying to artificially manipulate the weather and Mother Nature to create, as it were, kind of a false flag incident in the physical realm in order to justify the institution of a totally globally managed world economy and world government. Lead us down that road a little bit as far as what you foresee transpiring with this.
Wow. That actually is one of my favorite subjects, and unfortunately I felt in this book compelled to stick with the facts and leave speculation out. So I just touch on it. I just ring little bells in hopes that to get the reader thinking about it. Probably the start point on this goes back about a decade ago. United States Secretary of Defense William S. Cohen spoke at a conference on terrorism, weapons of mass destruction, and U.S. strategy in his official capacity as the U.S. Secretary of Defense. So one can take what he said as the official United States position. And he said, and I quote, "Others are engaging, even in an eco-type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts." Now, if the United States Secretary of Defense says that others have the ability to alter the climate or set off volcanoes and earthquakes, we have to take this, I think, very seriously. And what my book, I begin the book with that quote and then spend the next 400 pages proving he was right. And you know, we have this question of who these others are. And one of the things I point out in the book is that the U.S. military has a long track record of accusing others of having the capability they themselves have. We saw the purpose, the reason why the ENMOD treaty came into existence was because of the U.S. military using ENMOD in war. As you mentioned, Rome and Carthage. 100 years ago, the United States was fighting a war against the indigenous peoples. The Indian Wars ran from the 1830s to the 1870s. And one of the things that the U.S. government did is the government realized that the indigenous peoples of the plains' economy was based on the buffalo. If the buffalo were gone, so would they. And they hired buffalo hunters by the thousands who killed buffaloes by the millions. And indeed, the buffalo was nearly driven to extinction, and the Indian was also nearly wiped out. You talk about genocide, less than 2% of the total native population remained by the 1900. This was carried forward into Vietnam. 100 years later, in Vietnam, the U.S. Army decides to try the same thing. In this case, the enemy is living in the jungle, so they decide to make the jungle go away because the jungle is providing sustenance and support to the enemy. So they pour defoliants over the jungle in an effort to make it go away. Meanwhile, they use cloud seeding techniques to turn the Ho Chi Minh Trail into a quagmire of mud.
We will be back with Jerry E. Smith the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water, in short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Jerry E. Smith, the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. And this is an absolutely incredible book, and you can find out more about Jerry by going to jerryesmith.com or checking out the website of the publisher of this book, Adventures Unlimited Press, where you will discover a whole body of information there that will be of use to you and your families and all the days that are ahead or that may yet be ahead. Jerry, again, I wanted to mention, because we had one caller to the station that wanted to have it reiterated as to what HARP stands for. That's High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program.
That is correct.
Yes. And in terms of looking at this, again, there are so many different places where we could go to as far as this discussion is concerned of what you have given to us in over 400 pages. I personally, again, wanting to get into some of the potential political implications of this.
Okay.
I noticed when I was reading this little section in your introduction on geophysical warfare that the Russian Duma had some concerns as to what was going on with this HAARP program in Alaska on the part of the United States. And as I was continuing to read, I came across a quote, 1966 quote from a Dr. Gordon J.F. McDonald, who said, quote, "The key to geophysical warfare is the identification of environmental instabilities to which the addition of a small amount of energy would release vastly greater amounts of energy," unquote. This was in a publication entitled Geophysical Warfare, How to Wreck the Environment, a chapter that Dr. McDonald contributed to Nigel Calder's 1968 book, Unless Peace Comes, A Scientific Forecast of New Weapons. And to emphasize what you tell the readers of this book in the introduction, Dr. McDonald at the time was the associate director of the Institute of Geophysics and Planetary Physics at the University of California, Los Angeles. And he wrote an article in 1968 entitled Space, which was contributed to something called Toward the Year 2018. He proceeded to elaborate on the possibilities of geophysical warfare. I won't read the quotation for purposes of time, but suffice it to say that in reading his quotation about the very real potentials for geophysical warfare and keeping in context what you have already told us about this HAARP program in Alaska, and again, that's the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, I found it then interesting to turn to a page where we read that Dr. McDonald had some very interesting connections to the Mitra Corporation, which did a very bad environmental impact study, apparently, on this HAARP program. But then there's a paragraph that I underscored as I was reading through your entire text. Dr. Gordon McDonald was also a member of two organizations that have been accused of engaging in globalist conspiracies by anti-New World Order researchers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, and the secretive Jason Group. The CFR, with such related organizations as the Trilateral Commission and the World Federalist Association, is a prominent supporter of globalization and of global governance schemes, as can be read in their own magazine, Foreign Affairs, which I do take a look at once in a while. That seems to be a place where you hint at some of the larger implications that could be involved in this whole business of weather warfare when it comes to global economic and political management on the part of elites who would be interested in creating a one-world government. Is that, in fact, your belief that this is part of what's happening?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've been researching this since the mid 1970s when I read Gary Allen's "None Dare Call It Conspiracy." I heartily recommend everybody listening read Gary Allen's "None Dare Call It Conspiracy." It's an absolutely brilliant work in which Gary Allen was a liberal journalist in L.A. who got fed up with the John Birch Society nonsense and decided to prove they were all loonies. So he gets the John Birch Society material, and then he starts trying to prove that they were wrong and discovers they were right, that there really was a conspiracy at the very top of the financial pyramid of the world. You can call them the banksters to control our society and ensure that the wealth of nations continues to go into their hands. When I read Gary Allen, I went, "Oh my gosh, could this possibly be true?" And started researching it and tried to verify for myself whether he had it right or not. And over the course of the next 20 years, I became convinced that he mostly had it right. And then getting into when I got the go-ahead to go on the HAARP book, that became the focus of the HAARP book. The HAARP book is a springboard to talk about globalization and global governance schemes. And in the process of which, I realized that one of the reasons why we do not have a world government right now is there are actually several competing groups trying to set up their own version of a world government. And every time one side nails a piece down, a coalition of other sides pry it back up again. So we're staggering step by jolting step in the direction of global government, because at the top they all want global government, but they want their version at the top. And I see the primary dichotomy, the great divide between the rulers, the would-be rulers, is what I call the banksters and the watermelon. The banksters are trying to create a global government based on multinational treaties that put the multinational corporations above the sovereignty of individual nations. This is NAFTA and GATT. This sort of thing.
Yes.
On the other hand, you have the watermelons who are trying to do an end run around the banksters by using concerns of the earth is dying to using the environment as a ploy to put in things like the Kyoto Protocols and implement sustainable development, which really means no development at all.
Yes, and to me, as one considers the implications of all of this, it's a question certainly of as you put it, circumstantial evidence that nonetheless does create a scenario where there's a great deal of suspicion that there's far more to all of this than we can possibly imagine. That will continue to unfold in coming months and coming years, as just on the basis of history and human nature alone, it seems to me to be the case that you can just bet that significant nation states are going to want this kind of technology for themselves. You throw the multinationals into the mix, you throw the folks in there who want to create some form of world government, and it becomes very clear that that this whole business of weather modification would take us to a whole new level in terms of the competition that has existed throughout world history on the part of handfuls to control the many. I wanted to ask you a little bit about this Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Authorization Act of 2005. You talk about this a little bit in Chapter 4 of your book entitled NMOD Legislation. And you mentioned Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison of Texas, who introduced this act into the U.S. Senate on the 3rd of March 2005 as Senate Bill 517. But there was a similar bill introduced to the House of Representatives as H.R. 2995. And what is the purpose of this legislation? What do you think its implications are? And if there's other legislation that needs to be discussed on this network that has implications for NMOD and for weather warfare, just take it away and outline some of this stuff for us.
You know, I really wish I knew what was behind that bill. I have read the bill several times, and it's very peculiar. I mean, it has this Technology Transfer Act as part of the name, but I can't find in the bill what technology is being transferred to whom. It's just one of those head scratchers.
Yes.
The basic of the bill is that it is a reiteration of a much older bill prior to our signing the United Nations NMOD treaty. We had a bill that created a federal weather board, and the federal weather board was to pull together everything that was known about environmental modification and report to Congress on it. And that bill was passed. The board was created. The board did its job. It reported to Congress. You can get that report at any U.S. government printing office. After the NMOD treaty was passed, the board was disassembled. Now Senator Hutchison is reintroducing recreating that board, and there are some real problems with the board that her act envisions, because her board would only have those people who are currently actively engaged in doing it, only scientists and bureaucrats. It does not have input from those who would be affected by environmental modification. It doesn't have input from farmers and ranchers and beachfront property owners, and the average citizen is left out. It's only folks from NOAA and NASA who get to judge what programs, and a big piece of what this is, the board is not going to just examine what technology there is, but is going to set up and fund future research programs. And so this leaves us wide open as to where is this technology going to go, and why are we now, 20 years after the fact, suddenly going to reopen this can of worms in a public light. And I maintain that prior to the ENMOD treaty, as I was leading up to before one of our breaks, the United States military was engaged in whether an environmental modification in the Vietnam War, and the horrors of the potentials of that led to the ENMOD treaty. And as soon as the ENMOD treaty was signed, the United States government stopped overtly doing it. Prior to signing the treaty, the United States federal government was spending upwards from $20 million a year and had over 700 degreed scientists working on environmental modification research. Well, after we signed the treaty, it vanished. The budget went to zero. All these guys got fired. The boards got disassembled. I maintain that we didn't stop doing it. We simply moved it over to the black budget, and it went covert. And now maybe it's a good thing that it's being brought back out of the closet and it's going to go overt again. But I'm really curious as to what the politics behind this thing are, because it's not real clear from the bill itself.
Well, this was my own experience. You know, I'll share this on the air. At one time, I was occasionally doing some work for Howard Phillips of the Conservative Caucus in terms of researching U.S. Senate bills for his publication entitled Senate Report. And so I got into the thomas.loc.gov site where you can actually get into the congressional record and start tracing these bills from inception to eternity. And when I went through, was reading some of this stuff on S-517 and also on H.R. 2995, it seemed to me that it was just as important to see what it didn't say as to what it did say, and that in a very real sense, you know, some of this sort of thing, it strikes me that you could have at one level the publication of a bill like this or the introduction of a bill like this that ostensibly provides a smokescreen of cover for the notion that we can have some legitimate public debate and discussion on these things. And yet, in many respects, the bill clearly seemed to be, in its language and so forth, hiding a great deal. And to me, when you get into, again, some of the quantifiably provable things that we've run into in terms of government research programs, one can quite clearly see the implications for a debacle with this. I was looking, for example, again, in your introduction, talking about an article on HARP that was in Nexus Magazine, written by Dr. Nick Begich and Gene Manning, who describe how HARP could be used to introduce mental dysfunction. Quoting from Zbigniew Brzezinski on a proposal from Dr. McDonald, saying, quote, political strategists are attempted to exploit research on the brain and human behavior. Geophysicist Gordon J.F. McDonald, this is the fellow we were talking about earlier with the connections to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Jason Group, the Trilateral Commission, and the World Federalist Association. Gordon J.F. McDonald, specialist in problems of warfare, says an accurately timed, artificially excited electronic stroke, quote, could lead to a pattern of oscillations that produce relatively high power levels over certain regions of the Earth. In this way, one could develop a system that would seriously impair the brain performance of very large populations in selected regions over an extended period, unquote. Now, to me, if I had been reading this 25 or 30 years ago, I would have been saying, oh, come on, Jerry. I mean, we're really in the realm of outer space here in terms of reality. And yet, when you look at what is now publicly known, about the CIA's MK Ultra program of drug research and the impact of hallucinogenic drugs on the human mind and human behaviors, it makes this type of a scenario inherently plausible to me, plausible enough that some of these leading academics are talking about it in their research journals. Where do you see something like this going, and what are the implications of it?
Well, that actually is the core of my book, HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. As I said, I'd started researching this back in 1970, in the mid-70s, as well as reading Gary Allen. I actually met Walter Bowart, who was stumping for his book, Operation Mind Control, which revealed MK Ultra and other CIA mind control activities. And so I had been researching it for 20 years, and when I heard that the primary purpose of HARP was to bathe the world in radio frequencies that are known to affect the human mind, I went, oh my God, if these people have no clue what they're doing, they could inadvertently cause mental dysfunction across whole continents without having a clue they're doing it. And if they do know what they're doing, if this truly is a covert operation to mind control, this could be the ultimate weapon, which is why the book was called HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy.
We will be back with Jerry E. Smith, the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, when Mark Dankos America returns, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories. We'll be right back.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Jerry E. Smith, author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. Just wanted to mention again Jerry's website, jerryesmith.com. And through the next hour of this show, we'll be mentioning some of his related websites as well. Wanted to warn Jerry that we have a series of commercial breaks in the next the next 10 minutes or so that are rather frequent, and then there will be a longer period of time for conversation. It's at this particular point in the show that I do a couple of housekeeping items. One is that you can have new Republic Broadcasting Network T-shirts. You can have those at rbnlive.com or at notyranny.com, or can call in at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. You can also obtain Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism. That can be yours for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by using those same contact points, rbnlive.com on the web or at 1-800-724-2719. You can also support the Republic Broadcasting Network and keep this very important operation going in regard to circumventing corporate news media and giving people an opportunity for direct access to writers like Jerry E. Smith, who give us in Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature, information that you're not going to read in Time or Newsweek and that you're not going to see on CNN or on the major news networks. That's possible only if you continue to support us, and do so by contacting us on the web, again, at rbnlive.com, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. Jerry, before we continue this conversation, I notice I've got a caller, Bill, in Florida. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, down here in beautiful 82-degree Florida.
That's depressing, Bill, but go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering, off the top of your head, could your guest give any shortwave frequencies that HARP broadcasts on? So maybe we could, I know there's no voice coming over, but maybe to know if they're on the air?
HARP broadcasts just below shortwaves in the high frequency zone. It's in my book, but I can't remember numbers. It's easy to look up, and there's are a couple of websites. Try Brother Jonathan Gazette, Brojon, brojon.com, brojon.org. He listens to HARP continuously, and there is a clickable box where you can click to listen to HARP, and it has an audio recording of what HARP sounds like, and it gives you the frequency that it was recorded at. That's all I can think of offhand.
Okay, so it's between the high end of the AM frequency and the low end of the shortwave band, right?
Actually, I think it's lower than that. I think it's like 7 kilohertz, 12 kilohertz. It's just below shortwave, as I understand it.
Okay, that tells me where I could look. All right, thank you very much.
Sure.
Yep, bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Jerry E. Smith, the author of Weather Warfare, The Military's Plan to Draft Mother Nature. Stay tuned.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means...
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.